Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show podcast series on the next generation of KGO. Let's start today with managers behaving badly. That's right, the manager. Managers behaving badly. Yes, we know we employees behave badly, but how about when you're the manager? I love this. This is a manager from Del Taco in Arizona. He got canned after customers at the drive-thru filmed him swearing at them. Now, the best part is he said, well, what are you going to do with this? Where are you going to post it? YouTube? Nobody's going to effing see it. He also says, well, he says bro a lot. We'll excuse him for that. Okay, so check this out. And yes, it did get posted. And yes, his Del Taco got fired.
Hi, bro. You want the whole story? He was probably taking your order. I came here. No information.
So, but you don't have to act that way.
I don't give a bro.
You're gonna get fired. Go,
this is the manager right here.
All
right,
where are you gonna post it? YouTube? No one's gonna see it. Where are you gonna send it to?
To your boss, duh.
I am the boss. My dad's actually a owner, so good luck with that.
Okay.
All right, cool, bro. But like, you wanna come over here? Where's my hot and mild sauce?
I order more food. All right, I didn't just come over here for the salsa. I ordered 2 tacos.
Okay, bro, that's cool.
I came back to buy more.
Okay, that's cool, but like, why you gotta give me toot about the sauce though?
You're very upset because you're doing drive-thru. If you don't,
if I was the boss, I'd be at home, not right here, bro, tending this window.
Yeah.
Boss. So. Yeah, if I was a boss, I wouldn't be making as much right now, bro.
This guy.
You're young and dumb.
He really doesn't have an idea what social media can do to somebody.
Yeah, okay. To a workplace.
What intellectual conversation do you want to tell? You want about political campaigns? That's right.
Wow.
Wow. Don't you love how, like, the millennials, the teenagers are saying to the manager, to the boss, like, wow. Wow, dude, you know, you're killing your own job. Just saying, bro. Yeah. Bye-bye. He's Del Frisky today. Out on his ass. I love this story because I'm a firm believer in that you get to protect it. Yeah. All of that. Yeah, you should get to have a gun in your house. Support the NRA on that. Yes, if anybody comes in my house to bother me, well, then something bad is probably going to happen. And that's the way it is with a lot of people. So this family, as a matter of fact, this is an 11-year-old in Alabama, shot an intruder who tried to rob his house last Wednesday. This is legit. Now, we've been going through some things on the air on the Drex Radio Show where, you know, dad sets up the kid and then the kids, I don't know, dad's best friend comes in and scares the hell out of the kids and they call 911 and everybody gets arrested. All of that silly garbage. But no, this was for real. So this intruder actually was a robber, and the responsible father had taught his son the proper use of the handgun and whatever weapons he had at his house. And this kid took self-defense classes, and this guy was in his house, and he feared for his life, and the 11-year-old shot him. His name's Chris Gaither. Take a listen to this.
I told him I was going to kill him all that with a gun if he didn't get out of my house. When he was coming downstairs and told me he was going to kill me and F you all that, I shot through a hamper that he was carrying. And it was a full metal jacket bullet. I went straight through the bag and hit him in his leg. And he started crying like a little baby. When I pulled the gun out on him, I guess he didn't think it was a real gun because he didn't worry about it. He just kept on walking. I play zombies for target practice. I hope you learned a lesson from coming to this house trying to steal stuff.
I hope so. And you're listening to a Drex podcast series on the next generation of KGO on this Tuesday, May 3rd. It's like I say, don't mess with Drexes. Yeah, you come in the house, man. I'm just a firm believer in that. I don't have time for that. If you're in my house, you may be anti-gun. And I'm not a big fan of guns. I hate guns. But yes, I'm prepared to defend myself and my family. If you're so stupid as to come into my home and threaten me or any of my family, well, I don't know if you'll get a full metal jacket, but you're going to get popped a few times. All right. A few pops. Gotta wonder what Warren G was doing. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if we ever get back. And it's root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the old ball game. I know that was horrific, but I actually got to do it at Wrigley Field in Chicago, and it was fantastic. So Warren G showed up, and apparently, you know, you do have the script in front of you. Unless you're a Cubs fan like I am, then you already know what it is. So then, therefore, you would not have to do what he did. But he just kind of made it up. It's kind of funny, actually.
Cubby fans, mount up! A 1, 2, 3! Take me to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never come back. Let me root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Let's get the bronze medal!
Well, okay, Warren G, close enough. And I must say, after hearing myself sing, I think, well, he's a singer, though, right? I should get a little bit of credit. At least I got the lyrics right. But for some reason, I don't think the singing was much better. Now, I shall not sit here and drextify about myself. All right, let's talk about Prince a little bit, because I have some fun Prince quirky stories. I mean, yeah, our hearts are still broken. Here we are a week and a half later. But I love this. Pink says she called Prince a rude name when he was trying to give her career advice. Listen to this.
I actually had an argument with Prince once. It was about owning your own masters. I asked him to collaborate with me, and he asked me if I owned my own masters. I told him, no, I didn't, because I just actually got a record deal. So it was a little early for me to be demanding my masters back, and he told me to call him when I did. And I told him that he was a rude and then I went on stage. I loved him. I just needed him to know that I was not happy. But I was 19 at the time, so I didn't see people coming from good places.
Okay. Well, she was rude then, and she was pink, and she still is pink. But lots of people have pink, quirky stories now. Let me share a few, because a lot of these are fun. So this is from Madonna. A former publicist said Madonna showed up at Prince's Radio City Music Hall gig in New York, front and center, near the end of the show. He looked right at her and said something like, "I can sing and dance at the same time. I don't lip sync." Whether it was in jest or fun or not, Madonna got all pissed off, and she ran out in a huff. So, hey, what can you say, you know? Right on. Last year, Questlove tweeted, quote, "Prince once fired me from a DJ gig in a nightclub and instead started blasting the Finding Nemo DVD on the screen. Didn't dig my gig, I guess." Guess not. Go from Questlove to Finding Nemo. In 1978, Prince, this is, "I want to be your lover." I'm going to stop singing now. Prince was doing an interview with a female reporter when he asked her, quote, "Does your public hair go up to your navel?" Yes, I know I'm allowed to say pubic because this is a podcast. But no, the question actually was, "Does your public hair go up to your navel?" I don't know. What was the answer? I don't think we ever got the answer. 4 years ago, Joni Mitchell said, quote, "Prince used to write me fan mail with all of the U's, the capital U's, and the hearts, just the way he writes." That's the way his handwriting is. "And the office took it as mail from a lunatic, some nut from the lunatic fringe, and kept tossing out all of Joni Mitchell's letters that were actually really coming from Prince." So tons thrown out until someone finally caught on. A writer for PopDose.com says that Prince released a 12-inch extended mix of a song called Scandalous. The song Scandalous, remember that? From the Batman soundtrack. And it actually included sounds of him and Kim Basinger getting it on in the studio. Didn't know that. Now I want to go back and listen to that. So find Scandalous and Batman and listen for them bedoozing it. They were also dating at the time. Kind of sort of remember that. Prince's first wife, Maddie Garcia, said, quote, I was never allowed to call Prince. I was never allowed to call him, ever. Ever. Even when we were married. I had to wait for him to call me. Now I have no idea why. That would be a pain in the ass. I mean, even if you are His Royal Highness, I mean, if we're married, no, that wouldn't work for me. Okay. Moving along, in 1995, an unidentified Paisley Park staffer, quote, said, quote, I literally saw him fire a guy or fire this dude for just looking at him. He said, why is that guy looking at me? Tell him to leave. He's canned. He was a little odd. Eccentric, I suppose, is the word. A friend who used to have lunch regularly with Prince in the early 90s said, quote, he would wear these beautifully tailored monochrome outfits, which we know, of course, we've seen him in plenty of times. One time it would be red, the next time purple, and he always had a Tootsie Pop that matched. Yes, I do believe that. That was a thing. Talib, am I saying this right? Quelli? Talib Quelli, I do believe, tweeted about Prince, how Prince changed after he got religion. Quote, once I was in a club in Los Angeles when at 2 a.m. came, he kicked all the dudes out and it was just us and the women. And then he read from the Bible. That's when all the Jehovah's Witness stuff was going on. And this is great. In a new essay for Billboard magazine, Tracy Morgan, yes, the much beloved comic who almost didn't make it through that horrible car accident, talked about his friendship with Prince, and he ended with his, well, this potentially not safe for work antidote, but this is a podcast series, so you get all the good stuff, and I really don't give a damn, and you shouldn't either. Prince's music taught me to suck boobies. That's right. He taught me how to be gentle, a gentle suckler. Suckling, yes. Because of him, I once sucked a booby for over an hour. At the end, it looked like a tater tot. Tracy Morgan says, I love Prince. Because he taught me how to make those tater tots. That's fun. That's fun. Okay. I didn't have time to play this yesterday, and I want to play this for you. So this is great because I grew up in San Antonio, so two police officers in Texas were indicted for tricking prostitutes into sleeping with them. They set up a here's what they did. They set up a fake sting operation and recruited real prostitutes to be part of it. And then they put the women through all kinds of tests to see if they were qualified, including having actual sex. They have their names here, but I'm not going to read it because I don't think it matters. A third police officer was arrested along with these two. He hasn't been charged yet, but the clip includes Bexar County, the DA, and one of the lieutenants, and somebody from the Live Oak Police Department. So I can't wait to hear this. Let's hear this.
Our allegation is that they misused their authority and their position to set up a fake sting operation to coerce, basically fraudulently, to bring these women into this sexual escapade in this situation.
You know, it involved everything from consuming alcohol to, you know, asking them questions about, are you comfortable with holding my hand or kissing, or are you comfortable disrobing in front of men?
Apparently not. And how much do you want to bet that the prostitutes thought probably that it was a real sting and they were going through it and going through with it so that they wouldn't get arrested? I don't know the rest of the story, but I'm just, hey, you go ahead and think out loud, just like I am. So the cops are setting you up and you're having practice sex and they're probably telling you this is how you're not going to get arrested for being a prostitute. I'm surprised the drugs thing isn't there in there, but I don't hear any drug thing. I don't know what's going on. Drug thing. Is there any drug thing or drinking thing going on with Jennifer Lawrence? What is going on with Jennifer Lawrence? Says she hasn't felt the touch of a man for a long time.
I know before you were very outspoken about your dating life. Any?
Really?
A little bit.
What dating life?
None?
No.
Still
none? No.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. It's
what are we doing?
Really sad. Listen, I haven't felt the touch of a man in...
That can be like the next project.
Finding me a boyfriend?
There you go. We can make it a film.
Ah, I'd say that's the Hunger Games. Making me hungry. Just saying. Inside Amy Schumer. There was this gun control sketch on Inside Amy Schumer over the weekend, and not surprisingly, some people took offense to it. It was a take on the Home Shopping Channel show, and she jokes about pretty much anyone can buy a gun. There's been a lot of backlash with this since the beginning of the week.
And now here is what's great about this. Now, pretty much anyone can purchase this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh, my God. This is so fun.
It's
I love fun. This.
Hey, lady, give me all your money and your makeup.
Oh, my God. So fun. And it's on sale now. Call in. Oh, we got a caller.
Oh, caller.
Hey, did I miss the Steve Irwin coins?
Oh, yeah, you did.
You sure did,
I'm
honey.
Sorry.
But that's okay.
You want a gun?
Oh, no. I could never get a gun. I have several violent felonies.
Oh, no.
Caller, you bite your tongue, you silly goose. You can absolutely get a gun if you have several felonies, as long as you buy it on the internet or at
right.
a gun show. And caller, guess where you are right now? Bam! You're at a gun show!
You're at a gun show. Yes, if you go to a gun show, you can get an unlicensed seller to sell you a gun. No questiones asked.
That's right. Not one question for you, caller.
Great. I'll get one for me and my mouthy wife.
Ooh, one's for your wife.
In a way.
Love Amy Schumer. You know who else I love? I love Bono of U2. But I have to say, the last thing that he did I thought was a little out there. I mean, very esoteric. The whole thing where if we really want to defeat ISIS. Do you remember this story? It was like several weeks ago. If we really want to destroy ISIS, we should do it with laughter and comedy. That's the way we do things. Well, I happen to disagree with that. I don't think laughter and comedy is going to save anybody from ISIS. Then all the other comedians, people like Chris Rock and all those guys said, hey, dude, I ain't going over there to ISIS to make their ass laugh. It's not going to happen. But now this latest thing this week from Bono is that, and I didn't know this, actually, U2 basically started out as a Christian rock band, even though they've never officially labeled themselves that. Now, we might know why they didn't. Bono says a lot of modern Christian music just feels dishonest to him. And let's hear him talk about it.
I think it's a shame because you got these are people who are vulnerable to God in a good way. You know, vulnerable, I mean porous, open. I would love if this conversation would inspire people who are writing these beautiful voices and writing these beautiful, say, gospel songs. Write a song about their bad marriage. Write a song about how they're, you know, pissed off at the government. Because that's what God wants from you, that truth, the way, the truth. And that truthfulness, know the truth. The truth will set you free. It'll blow things apart. Why I'm suspicious of Christians is because of this lack of realism. And I'd love to see more of that in art and in life and in music.
Wow. I was wondering where that music was coming from. I'm like, are the heavens floating my way? What the hell is that in my headphones? All right. Let's change the topic for just a second because I want to talk about movies a little bit. And, oh, I do want to go to religion again. Oh, Kirk Cameron. I'll tell you what, I'll just jump around. All right. So, last week, the big thing was Will Ferrell doing the movie about Ronald Reagan, former President Ronald Reagan, having Alzheimer's disease. And there was so much blowback from that film that he decided he was pulling out of it, him and his management. And I think, good move. It just doesn't feel like the time is right for that. Since Mrs. Reagan died, I don't know, and the whole story was, the whole scheme and the plot, from what I understand, the way this worked as a comedy was at the end of Reagan's era in his second term, the Alzheimer's was setting in so fast and hard that they actually had to go in and tell somebody, because the last thing to go is long-term memory, right? Okay. If I have this correctly, so short-term memory goes first, long-term memory goes last. So in essence, so the story went, the backstory, was that he could still remember being an actor, which would make sense. That would go back to the 40s and 50s when he met Nancy, before he met Nancy and all of that. Okay, now that sounds ridiculous, and I'm sure it didn't happen, but while all of this was going on, all of this hubbub about, oh my God, Will Ferrell, don't make this movie. This is an awful, horrible career choice. I came across this. Now, don't take offense to this because this is 1999 before anybody died and all of that stuff, okay? But Ronald Reagan's kids were attacking Will Ferrell about making that comedy dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia. But the idea actually... and I found this was used before. Do you remember Dave Thomas and SCTV, the guys from Canada? Well, they did this special back in 1999 where Dave Thomas played Bob Hope interviewing Reagan. And Reagan is senile and thinks that his whole presidency was a movie shoot, which makes me think out loud, after you hear this, does this not just sound like the script that I told you Will Ferrell was almost going to do? Listen.
What about you? You ever thought about doing another movie, you know, now that you're out of the White House?
I just did one.
No.
We just wrapped.
So fast?
No, but we've wrapped almost a year now.
I can't believe it.
It was incredible. And, boy, the budget they put into this thing, I'll tell you, no form, you know, none of the
plastic. What kind of role did you have? Were you a support player?
No, I was the lead.
No.
I played. It was a long shoot, though, too. Usually you want a 30-day shoot. This thing seemed to go on forever. I played the President of the United States. It was a terrific role. And the coverage it got, the media covered the shooting of the movie, incredible. I mean, you know, you'd think 5 minutes on Entertainment Tonight, but Rather, every night, Rather, Jennings, Brokaw, every night they covered the whole shooting of the... This is going to be a terrific...
I'm really worried about you now. I think you really got to get a permanent hose attached to that ear to drain out that fluid. You were the president. That wasn't a role. You were the president for 8 years.
I knew that.
See? I mean, it's the same thing, right? See? I mean, this stuff just rotates and gyrates and rolls around Hollywood over and over and over again. It's the same old story. Nobody can think of anything original. I mean, maybe they were going to change a few things. I don't know. Should we go back to religion for a second? Because I want to. Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron is talking about marriage again, and as you would probably know, it just never ends. It never ends well. He did this interview with the Christian Post. He laid out what's expected of husbands and wives. First, he said husbands are supposed to, quote, love their wives and not tell their wives that they need to submit to them. Well, that's nice, and that's correct. But apparently, that's only because wives are supposed to already know their roles. You ladies are already to know your roles, quote, wives are to honor and respect and follow their husband's lead and not tell their husbands how he ought to be a better husband. And if you don't like what Kirk has to say, you'll need to take up with a higher authority. He said, quote, a lot of people don't know what marriage comes with, and it doesn't come with instructions. And we find them right there in God's words. I don't know where he, you know, this is like anything in the Bible. You can twist it and turn it, just like they do with other religious books. Twist it and turn it and make it anything you want. But I'm just thinking out loud. It's just insane. Speaking of some religion, boy, oh boy. I don't know if this lady has religion, but she has luck. she's a centarian. Oh, centarian. This is why I'll never make it to 100. Centarian. A woman in Virginia named Beatrice is, she's turning. Actually, she turned 100 over the weekend. All right. So there was a birthday party for her, but they asked her what she wanted to do to celebrate her birthday. And she wanted to do a pole dance. That's right, as in a stripper pole dance.
Oh, that pole dance. Oh, I am in good shape. Yeah. No medication or anything. I go to the beauty parlor every week and have my hair done. And then during the week, somebody does it for me.
oil of Olay and wine.
Wine.
How much wine?
Oh, now only a glass a day.
A glass a day. Now.
Now. Used to be two glasses.
Beatrice's daughter explains why Beatrice will do a pole dance on her birthday, which I guess happened over the weekend or yesterday.
Someone asked her what she wanted to do when she was 100 for her 100th birthday, and she said a pole dance. She no sooner said it than she said, I don't know why I said that. And the rest of us were like, we don't know why you said that either. I didn't know you knew about pole dancing, Mom. We have worked it out that we are going to set up a pole for her, and she is going to do a quasi pole dance, very tastefully dressed, not right. The leopard skin leotard that she once suggested, but she will stand up by the pole anyway, because that was her dream.
And so I guess her dream came true. Many more pole dancing days in her future. I wonder what happened to her husband. Well, I can tell you one thing. That lady's less stressed if he moved on. That's right. You know, when you ask your wife, do you know where my black socks are? And no, the other black socks. And never mind, how about the navy socks? And no, the other navy socks. It's really wearing her down. You keep losing your socks. That reminds me, there's actually an algorithm, a statistic for that. We lose, guys lose, I don't know, is it 15 socks a year? I know I'm up to that. But anyway, this wears on women, okay? It drives them insane, okay? It's wearing them down. So a new study out of Italy found that women surprisingly got healthier and less stressed when their husbands died. Die, I say. Screw your socks, I don't care. And you probably were mean and never turned them inside out to the correct way anyway. Now, I do because I have to wash them. But I still lose one or two every time. It's just ridiculous. Okay, back to this. When men become more stressed and less healthy, while men do become more stressed and less healthy when their wives die, that's true. Here's why. The research say it's because men really lean on their wives for everything. And for women, being the responsible one all the time is, quote, restrictive and frustrating. So once their husband kicks it, they feel more relaxed. They're chillaxed. They also believe that women cope with their spouse dying better than men because they're better at expressing their emotions. It lines up against with another study that found single women have lower risk of depression, but single men have a higher risk. So yeah, men really need women, and the feeling doesn't seem to be mutual. You may need women. Women don't necessarily need you. You may need your dog. Your cat might not necessarily need you. Your cat don't give a damn. Oh, I hope that's better. Boy, what an analogy I just made. The cat and your wife and you and the dog. Goodness gracious. All right. So that's the way it works out. And now you know. When you're gone, after she gets over you for 10 minutes, she's going to be so much happier. Things are going to be so much better in her life. And after years of you making her wear those uncomfortable shoes, you know, she deserves it. Stuff like that. Had to dig deep into some stats here on women's feet to get to this segue. And even though it's mostly about things like foot pain and shoe sizes, if you're a dude with a throbbing foot fetish. Oh, and we're going to be talking, I think, later in the week, kinky boots. Kinky boots, this is a thing. This shoe company was going out of business and they decided they should start making really kinky boots for women and shoes, and now they're making a fortune. Anyway, so on to this. And of course, I'm sure it kills you to wear them. Ladies, I don't know how you do this. If you're a guy with a throbbing foot fetish, well, here comes your party. You might want to pull over for the safety of yourself and others. All right, or just hit pause since this is a podcast. Here are some stats on women's feet. Check them out. Suck them down. Suck those toes down. 4 out of 5 women wear uncomfortable shoes at least once a month, and 2 out of 5 wear them at least 4 times a month. A third of women have trouble walking for after 2 days after they wear painful shoes for a night. I don't know how they do this. I give them so much cred. I mean, I just rotate my tennis shoes around. Yeah, thank God I work in the Bay and get along with, can get away with this. I don't have to wear dress clothes. 75% of women don't like their feet. 3/4 of you women don't like your feet. My God, think of the flip side. Guys' feet. Guys' feet are disgusting. Like, dude, if you're over 30 years old, you should not be in sandals. Ever. Can we agree on that? I mean, like, ever? Never? You know, so here I am at 50. I wear socks all the time, even around the house. Just a bad idea. 38% said they, wish they could change their feet. So almost 40% of the women wish they could change their feet. And 35% of women are jealous of women with smaller feet. I know that smaller feet thing, doesn't that go back to like some Asian Japanese cultural thing? I think it does. I could be wrong. But 3/4 of women don't like their feet. Well, I got good news, ladies. Men love your feet, all right? 1/2 of women have bought shoes that are just too tight for them, and they knew that when they bought them, and they didn't care. They knew they would hurt like hell, drive them insane, but they bought them anyway. And 1/3 of women have gone out with a spare of pair of shoes in their purse when their heels get too painful. Oh, I know women that do that. Yes. Yes. You're welcome, Sharon. All right. Let me see what else I've got here. Lots of fun stuff. Oh, since we're on to some stupid news, we do live in this era where we accept people regardless of what they look like. And if you dare to shame someone for their looks or don't even want to know the consequences, well, be careful. But apparently, we're not so cool to ourselves. That's where I'm going with this. Here are some results from the new survey by Allure Magazine on attractiveness that shows that we're all of us, not just women now, all of us are still obsessed with the way we look. Check this out. 50% of the people say their appearances absolutely define their identity. That's up from 35% in 2010. That's a 15% spike. Yes, we're all vain bastards and, well, ladies. Bastards and ladies. 65% say the first thing they notice about someone is how attractive they are. We are so shallow. 2/3 of all of us think that their lives would be better if they were just more attractive. Ryan, if you were more attractive, would you feel better? Ryan works out. Brian works out a lot, so.
I'm as handsome as I can be.
You're as handsome as. Do you have a six pack?
No, certainly not.
Oh. Daddy doesn't. Don't worry. Okay, let me see. 62% of women and 53% of men say that they're more critical of their looks than other people. This is how vain we are. The average woman rates herself. What do you think the average woman gives herself on a scale of 1 out of 10? 6. Men rate themselves as 6.5. We don't give ourselves much credit, do we? You know how you can help yourself with this? I'll just stop before I continue for a second. If you go back, let's say you're, 40, 50, 60, go back and look at yourself when you were in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, you're going to think, now I'm going to be naughty because it's the podcast. Look, in my 30s, I was so good looking, I'd do myself. Oh, well, apparently I did anyway. But I'm just saying, if you could replicate me in my 30s, me, myself, and I'd be getting it on, baby. Just saying. So if you're feeling bad about the way you look, go back and look. You're not as bad as yourself. You're giving yourself a 6.5? Come on, man. 84%. So 85% of people, almost all of Americans, are trying to be less judgmental about other people's looks. Well, I would hope so. The most common thing people lie about is their weight. Rest of the top five are jean size. Oh, I love this. You know, I just got into an argument last week on the air. Chip Franklin, for no reason at all, said, yeah, man, you know, my jeans are size 32. I'm thinking, dude, you do not. Chipism, I love you, Chip, but this is like when we were talking about throwing the opening ball at the ball game. I played you. Who was I playing? Whoever I was playing at the beginning of the show. I forget. Short-term memory loss. I don't know anything about that. Let me see. Take me out to the ball game. But, yeah, so we were talking about that with Chip, and I forget who. This is going to drive me crazy. I have to find out who threw out the first pitch during this podcast. Oh, Warren G. Okay. So, anyway, so we were talking about that on the air, and then he brings it because he has a 32-size waist, and I said, yes, well, I do too, but, yeah, I had tons of stomach surgery last year, and this is not the way you want to lose weight. I did lose 30 or 40 pounds, not the way you want to be doing it then. And then we started talking about baseball, and he asked me if I ever threw out the first pitch, and I said, yes, I did. I threw it out at Wrigley Field, and it bounced. And but the problem was I wasn't drunk because I did practice and practice and practice, but the problem was I'd always be 4, 5, 6 Heinekens in. So the day that I did it, all my buddies were saying, dude, don't go out there sober and do this. But I said, I can't do this in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. It's sacred ground. I can't go out there, you know, buzzed and do this. Sure enough, I bounced it like 3 times. Nothing like 40,000 people booing you. And Chip Franklin's laughing at me. He's like, ha, 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 horse's ass. I threw a strike from second base. Get out of here. Such bullshit. He threw a strike from second base, Brian.
Yeah, it's like he's reliving his high school baseball days or something.
Who throws a strike from second base?
No, but a second baseman.
Okay.
That's about
it. Do you think any of the MLB pitchers can throw a strike from the second base?
I mean, it'd be hard to do. They have really strong arms, actually.
You're going to get that thing 100 miles an hour in from second base?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. That's your chipism for today, and I love him very much. And he makes fun of my hair, too. Well, he doesn't have any. But he said, I have helmet head. I don't know. I'm working on it. I got a new haircut.
Well, it'll grow out.
It'll grow out. Thanks. Thank you, Brian. All right. You've been listening to the Drex podcast series. And we do it. We do it every time that the Warriors on or I'm preempted. So it's a lot of fun because it's not censored. And as you've noticed, there are no commercials. So have a wonderful rest of your life and stay calm and carry on. And we'll leave it at that. You've been listening to the Drex radio show. You've been listening, that is, to KGO 810. Carry on.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.